Hi, I'm Rhonda Began, one of the executive leadership coaches at Living Wholehearted. And I love what I do as a coach, especially in our cohort setting. That's why I'm excited to tell you that we are starting a 2-year women's executive leadership cohort in April of this year. And I don't want you to miss out. You might think as a leader, there's no way I can take 2 years to do anything. But we designed our cohort specifically to be doable for the high-level leader. Through one-on-one coaching that is easy to schedule, to once-a-month virtual group coaching, and then 4 amazing retreats at our Living Wholehearted Lodge and Retreat in beautiful Sherwood, Oregon, in the heart of wine country. We will look at who you are and how your story matters. We'll look at how you're wired and why it's important to be who you are. And then we'll look at how you have the potential to impact not just your leadership, but your family, your community, and your world. Hope you join us.
But that's what we're taught as leaders, usually, whether it's our childhoods that we grew up in, or, you know, again, no pain, no gain in the sports and the leadership roles that we're, and then leadership just intensity and stress, we're the ones helping everybody through. And so being able to have somebody say, how are you? Are you doing it? Okay, so it's a beginning of a new year, and most leaders are thinking, where do I want to go? What have I learned? And the most common feedback I've gotten from my clients these days is I want to learn how to go slower, to rest more, to not be in such a hurry. So that is a great goal for many of us. But we just want to talk about healthy habits for leaders, and really particularly about our leadership cohorts today. And we have amazing guests with us, Matt and Rachel Gilbert.
Yeah. So Matt and Rachel, we're so grateful that you can join us today, members of our Wholehearted Leadership Cohort. And we're just excited for our audience to get to know you guys better.
Yeah. We're excited to be here.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So Matt and Rachel, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and the stage of life you're in, the leadership that you hold, and then we'll talk about the rest of the cohort and all of that later. But just who are you guys?
Okay. Well, I guess I'll lead, but you might find Rachel more interesting in this world, but I will get mine out of the way. So I'm a chiropractor by trade, but I still practice, but I mainly manage our practice. We have a primary care medical clinic where we offer chiropractic rehab and counseling now. So we have Rachel and 2 other counselors in the practice, and that's been great. We have 3 kids. And they're all teenagers, so we're busy with that, very busy with that, looking at college now, that's coming up. And we have 2 dogs, we have a donkey, we have a couple goats, we have a few acres. We are just love doing a lot of projects and just having fun as a family and trying to figure things out. As a leader, I mentioned our clinic, we have a staff of 9, and I'm the primary leader for them. And there's different things we've been involved with church and different things over the years, but that's me. So carry on.
What's your donkey's name, Matt?
Lily.
Lily. Love it.
Yep.
Hey, Rachel, the more famous one here.
Yeah. Yes. So pretty much everything Matt just said, but then for me, my leadership role is more online. I have a podcast myself. Actually, next month I'll have been podcasting for 7 years. And I'm an author, I'm a speaker, just spoke at a women's event yesterday. And so I do a lot of leadership just for women, and a lot of times women who are feeling called maybe into ministry or business themselves, and they'll reach out and want to say, you know, how are you doing it? And I feel like one of the most common questions I get is, how do you do it all? And I tell people, I say, well, you know, I wear a lot of hats depending on the day of the week that you meet me, but I never wear them all at once. And so I think sometimes people see all the hats and they think, how are you doing all that? And it's like, well, it's, you know, I'm very focused on, okay, today's a counseling day, or all right, today's a podcasting day. And that's just how I've had to do it. And there's been seasons where I did a good job of managing that, and seasons where it wasn't so great, which is why we're in the cohort. So,
Well, we're so glad you guys said yes to the cohort. And like many couples, you're juggling many hats, and we've got our professional hats, We have our public-facing ministries and leadership, and then our more private, just day-to-day and running our organizations or the leadership and caring for our employees. Then you got your leadership in the home with your three teens, and got some animals that you're leading to and caring for. But just like the ordinary, there's just a lot to juggle as a leader. So thinking about the wholehearted leadership cohort, you know, let's talk a little bit about what got you drawn towards, like, why did you end up saying yes? And then we'll talk about maybe what were the hesitancies and, you know, why it was maybe a big leap. But start with, why did you actually say yes to doing the cohort?
Yeah. Do you want us to start with what, why we said yes or why we were drawn?
Both.
Okay.
Why were you drawn? And then why did you say yes?
Okay.
It's good. Clarify.
Well, I'll start with why we were drawn, because I think Tara, I can't totally remember where you and I connected initially. I think maybe it was either you were on my podcast or I was on yours, something like that, because we're both in that. We had the same publisher for one of our books. And so I remember after I got, I discovered you, went to your website, like we all do, and I just found it so fascinating what you did. I was drawn to work with you in some capacity, because before meeting you, I had worked with other coaches, but not to knock other coaches. I think it was, they just weren't the right fit for me for the season I was in, because what I had found with some of the coaches I'd worked with was they just wanted to push me harder, when really I needed somebody to say, hey, actually, let's pause a little bit and let's look at some of the stuff that's coming up for you. And so I just was in a season when I met you of burnout, really just thinking I might just need to quit what I'm doing, and very numb and all kinds of things happening. And so it was a godsend to even just, you know, connect with you. And then once I discovered, oh, they actually have this cohort too, that's when just started looking into it, and then shared it with Matt, because it was a, normally the things I'd done before this was just me, it was just for women. And so it was cool to find something that would be for both of us.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. And then you were drawn, but then what caused you to say yes, right?
Well, before we were drawn, let me, you asked also what might have our hesitancies might be, and that's where I need to come in. So
Fair enough.
I mean, honestly, in the beginning, Rachel brought this to me, and at first, I mean, we've done a few different, groups, cohorts, call them what you want, but different kind of leadership development or growing things. And we've gotten great things out of those. And we've also not gotten some great things. So we've kind of ran the gamut, I think, and seen a wide range of those things. So when Rach brought it to me, it's the beginning of the year, last year. And it's also, that's a tough time in healthcare. every year it goes through a little bit of a cycle. Everyone meets their deductibles and then they go away until the end of the year. So it was that time of year, and you brought this to me, and at first I'm thinking, even the name Wholehearted Leadership, oh man, that seems deep. That sounds like a lot. And so, wow. Yeah, well, that was my initial thought, honestly, but I love my wife and I trust her. And so she brought that to me. I did look into it. I looked at your website, I researched you guys, and we kept talking and we prayed about it. And, especially you, Jeff, just as I think we may have had a talk, but before then, just reading about you and some of the things that you brought to the table, in particular for things I might be interested in, that just seemed real appealing. And then, as we worked through that, it just more and more seemed like this was for us. This was, definitely part of the plan for this year. Little did we know how much that would be true this year.
Okay. And honestly, what made us take the leap was, I call it a by faith moment, when you're like, I don't know what this is going to look like, but I just know that God's asking me to do this, right? Yeah. Like, that's kind of where we landed. We're like, we can't even explain totally why we think God's asking us to join this. I have some ideas maybe of why, but I just, you know, when the Lord just tells you to do something, you just have to be obedient. So, yeah.
Now, this is going to be great for our listeners. Several people might be thinking as they hear this, some of the same feelings as they've been considering this as well. But you guys are a year in to a 2-year process, and we meet virtually. We have as a group, and we meet one-to-one with in a coaching capacity. And then we have these retreats that we've been doing. So you guys have gotten through a year of this. Where are you guys at? What are some of the things that you were surprised about and that sort of confirmed some of those pieces that you thought, I'm going to take this leap of faith. We don't really know. But how, even just after a year, you look back and you go, wow, we didn't know what we didn't know. And this is good.
Start or me?
So I'll start. Okay. Yeah, I would say surprises was, well, right off the bat, the thing that stands out to me was just the first meeting that we had, or when we came to Oregon for the first time, and you asked to share our story. And that was a surprise. I didn't know as we got into this to the level and the depth of what we would do. And now looking back, it's maybe not even... I think I've even grown looking back. Oh, it's not as deep as it could have been, you know, but it was, seemed like a lot. And that was a surprise to me. But you guys also did a really good job of prepping us, walking us through it and helping me to get through that. Cause I'm usually not someone, you guys know, but, usually not someone that goes easily into sharing with people I've just met a lot about me. And, to do that, you guys made it a really great environment. And so that was a surprise, but it was also a confirmation that, hey, this is a great place to actually work on these things and to grow deeper. And so that was my experience.
Yeah. And before I tap into CVI, I'll get to that in a second. One just overarching theme. Actually, yesterday I spoke to a group of women, and the title of my talk, honestly, almost centered around some of what the Lord has done by having us in this cohort. It was called By Faith, Stand Firm in Faith When Fear is Mocking Your Future. That's what I spoke to them on. And because for me and for us, as we looked back on 2024, you two know, we don't have to share details here, but it was a rough year for us. Like just one of, like we went through big things as a family, and as we talked about it, I realized, you know, that by faith almost felt like a Noah by faith moment, that the Lord knew the storms that were going to come in 2024, and being in this cohort and having you two as our coaches was our ark. You know, like we built this ark going, we have mentioned we weren't totally sure what we were going to get out of it, but I now, you know, we can look back and go, oh, whoa. This would have been a lot harder. So the things we walked through, lonelier and all kinds of different things I don't even want to think about, you know, if we hadn't had that support as we walked through some of these things. And so that's just a big spiritual thing that comes to mind. You want to mention anything about CVI too, and how that's, if you guys want to get into that yet piece of it, or if you want to.
Absolutely. Let's just paint the picture of some of what you've gotten in this first year, and then we'll apply it to just leaders in general who need this. But go ahead, Matt.
Well, the CVI is something that really stood out this year. That's been a game changer. I mean, for us and our family and our business as well. It's we've done a lot of these, I'll just say personality profiles. That's a real broad stroke of the pen, but we've done a lot of these, and I always feel like we get something out of them and we grow a little bit. But I was really interested when you introduced this one, that it's about values, and it's about the things that are important to you and how it can apply to work and how you do daily things. That was real interesting to me because it was just a little more practical and useful on a regular basis for understanding yourself, but also the people around you. And as we dove into it, I mean, it was very eye-opening, and we're still using that as so much of our just daily language now in our, and, you know, we got our kids tested as well, and they understand that to a degree. And it's just helped us to have a lot more conversations that opened up understanding and helped us to really just have that understanding in our family. And then we started applying it to some of our employees here in the business, and we're growing and doing that. So that's been exciting.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. And, you know, back to the CVI piece, I think, too, with me being a merchant, that's probably why in the past I am the one who was drawn more to group work, because I love it. It lights me up. Whereas Matt, being innovator builder, higher in that, it was more draining to him. And so and us as a couple, he very much has appreciated. And then as his wife, I appreciate that you organize it in such a way that all the values, their needs get met. And when they're not, when you know that they're being taxed, you're like, hey, you might need a break now. Like even with him being, having that high builder there, you gave us a heads up that when we come and tell your stories, you even told us you might want to stay a day or two after, cause it's going to be a little rough on his, his values there. And that, I mean, I'll let you speak more into that, but again, just as a couple, even that's helped us in our marriage to be able to recognize, okay, I've only, being able to speak each other's language and know each other's values and honor each other in those, and then give each other the space that's needed to feel honored in that way. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So good. There's so many pieces that you're naming. Our first year, we call this leader development. And so much of probably the leadership development cohorts and coaching, it's a lot about the systems we're in, but we're really in these cohorts leaning into who are we as leaders. And all four of us have parts of our stories where you're thrown into leadership because you can do it, or people see how you perform. They don't always know you. And then we get in the groove of leadership and all of a sudden years have passed by and we're exhausted. So these cohorts are really a space for leaders to pause wherever they're at. And we love emerging leaders to come in. We have many seasoned leaders that come and together they're learning from each other. But this first year is really, yeah, how has our story shaped who we are and the kind of leader we are? I would say 90% of the leaders I work with have never told their full story to anybody in their life. And that's a problem in terms of just the way that leaks and eventually catches up to us as human beings. And then the wiring piece, everybody's kind of, personality assessment fatigued, right? Like, oh, I know. And we've got so many out there, but the core values, I love how you guys are naming. We love it because it's so holistic. It applies beautifully at work. It applies beautifully in our families and relationships. It applies in our spiritual formation and our journey and us freeing ourselves up in our walk with God. So it's so fun to hear some of the fruit already of what you guys are gaining with also the second year that's coming. You don't know what's ahead, but we do. And the second year is really taking your story and your wiring and beginning to see, look up and out and go, okay, Lord, what do you have for me for the next 10 years? We're not looking for 50, but just looking up and out so then we can start aligning how we do our life, our daily schedules, what we say yes to, what we don't say yes to, and then how we align even our business life and our personal lives so that they're aligned with the greater value of where God's calling us and not just because of what we should or the expectations we have. Our story and our wiring shape a lot of that. So I'm excited for you guys. I'm so excited for you. One question I want to ask you before we move a little bit from cohort is, when you think about the doing this as a couple versus individually, we have a lot of people who do this individually. Talk about kind of encouragement if spouses can do this together. It's a little bit of an extra cost, but in terms of the multiplication that you're seeing, what would be your commercial for that?
Well, I would say definitely do it as a couple if you can. Practically speaking, it'll save you a lot of time in repeating conversations. efficiency. Yeah, seriously. But yeah. Yes. I'm really glad that we're doing it together because I know what would happen is if one of us had done it, you learn a lot of these tools, but you don't have someone to work on them with, and so mm-hmm. they don't get used as much. And then you come home and you try to explain it. And it's you can only get so much of it out and it doesn't hit home the same way as it did from you guys. And so I'm really glad that we're doing it together. Plus, as we've learned, Oregon's beautiful. Like, I don't know if you guys know, but Oregon's gorgeous. Like we're from Texas and Oregon's a beautiful state. So to get to go as a couple, explore the valley and do some of those things, man, that's been an extra plus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Rachel, anything you want to share? Or did he summarize
I mean, he
it well?
really did hit it on just that I feel like you get to grow as a team versus grow as an individual who's trying to drag the other person along with you. And even just the language, right? Trying to come home and say something like CVI to somebody and when they're going, what are you talking about? You know, there's just certain things that just won't land, like he said. So that's, I mean, if I definitely am very glad that we did it together versus just solo.
Yeah, but I would say don't if your spouse isn't ready for this or not.
Or you're single.
Or you're single. Yeah. We love the variety. And I think it's still part of a we always think as marriage and family therapists in systems, like, and there's a spoke in a wheel, right, with a bicycle wheel. And when one spoke in a wheel starts to shift, then everyone in the system is impacted. Yeah. So trusting, again, it's that discipleship model even of Jesus, you know, to one at a time. Changes the community around you. So it's ideal because it's easier to shift a system when there's two of you kind of going in a direction versus one of you. But it really is a gift, I think, when couples, and because Jeff and I are husband and wife, we kind of have a unique lens being married and leaders in the same marriage. So you kind of benefit from our years of experience guiding people in that way too.
Yeah, the cohort wasn't designed for couples, but it certainly works well, as you've heard. And we love it. So the cross-pollination is really, really great to have when we do these. And in fact, it is kind of funny, the next cohort we're just kicking off happens to be all couples, which is the first time ever. Yeah. So that's kind of interesting.
And but, I think I want to name even that cohort, majority of those couples, one person has a titled leadership role, and the spouses have a hard time seeing themselves as leaders. And I think when you're married to a leader, you are a leader, and that's part of the impact of leadership on marriage and family. We have to start thinking more holistically. And so maybe that's a little bit of what's different about us, Rachel, and the coaching too, is again, the more you push as a leader, everyone in your wake is being impacted by that. So we have to think as mothers and fathers and as husbands and wives as well, versus just getting to the next goal or, impacting our particular call. Our call impacts the people we say we love the most. So you guys are a beautiful example. And Matt, kudos to you for trusting your wife.
Props.
Oh, thank you.
Even
thank
at you one of the busiest or hardest seasons in your field. Yeah. So we're glad you said yes. Any questions about the cohort before we move to higher level leaders and what they face?
Yeah, I think maybe just one thing that would just be interesting to know is that are you noticing any habits or paradigm shifts for yourselves as you think about from the journey thus far, things that you're going, here's some ground I'm trying to take in my own individual life, heart, mind, soul, body, relationships, just something that you've integrated already. You've mentioned CVI as one skill or tool and how that's permeated both your marriage, but also your family, which is awesome. But anything else that you just would say that, this is a shift that's been made and I'm making as I'm entering and doing this journey.
You want me to go?
Yeah, I should just name names. Yeah. Rach, how about you start? We'll try to.
I'm trying to put words together to this. You know, your book came to mind, Shrinking the Integrity Gap, because we did read through that. And again, I think for me personally, this just came at such a perfect time because one of the really hard things we went through had to do with something church related, which impacted what I do. In all those roles I mentioned online. And I think, again, if I hadn't been walking through this journey at the same time, I would have been tempted to do the same thing I've done in the past. And I can see other leaders do sometimes when you go through hard things like this, is just to dig your heels in a little deeper, right? And go, oh, I won't let this get me. This is just the enemy out to get me. And, and that kind of stuff. And I just think it really, has me still, like, even as we're speaking right now, in this place of being willing to pause and not just sprint forward, right? And not feel like I have something to prove or I need to, like, does that make sense? And so that's for me, just in my own journey, and Matt can testify to this, that in the past I might have responded differently. I might have said, we need to figure this out and we need to, just get in there and get myself busy, so that I didn't have to feel all the stuff that was coming up, right? And just, let's just do another project. Let's just launch a new ministry. Let's just do something to help us feel like we're overcoming this. And to the outside looking in, they would have thought that. They probably would have, you know, clapped really big for me to do some big new things, you know? So that's been hard, because honestly, in some of the stuff we're walking through, I do have people reaching out saying, hey, when are you going to do this? And when are you going to speak on that? And what, you know, they're giving me all these ideas they'd love for me to do. And I'm going, guys, I'm over here trying to stay above the water. You know, I'm treading water here. I need to just let myself breathe. And so that's just a personal kind of thing that I'd say I've been walking through and I'm still in right now.
That's a great example. Thank you, Rachel. Yeah, we are in the deep end of the pool here, and in it, treading water is a part of the process. That's all right. Yeah, Matt, how about for you? Any habits or paradigm shifts for you that you're taking some ground in?
Yeah, paradigm shifts. That's a good way of putting it. I think we've learned. Yeah, we mentioned CVI and some of those things, but I feel like a new awareness of. What good leadership should look like. And I think that's helped us to kind of recognize we're having more conversations and questions about the leaders that we have in our life. The people around us or people that we might submit to as leaders. And we're looking at them definitely differently, not a bad way, but just we've been asking some questions and kind of looking at some patterns and things that we never really considered before. And I think that's been very interesting and good. And I expect that will pay off dividends in the future for people we say yes to and people we don't say yes to. So,
yeah, that's a great example too. I mean, it's healthy to kind of know what is healthy, and that's a process, right? And, you know, we look with a critical eye in a sense, in the best sense of that word, for what is healthy and evaluate. There isn't any perfect leader, you know, on the planet here. Christ is the only one who didn't have what we call the integrity gap and was perfect in every way. But yeah, what is healthy? Who's pursuing health? Who's modeling health? And yeah, we often kind of joke about even just our own well, we'll just use our church family, for example. We just say that, you know, we've been around the block a lot in the churches in the area, in the greater Portland and Washington, Oregon and Washington area. Know a lot of the churches around there. And we just prefer the dysfunction that our church has over the others, right? That's kind of how we say it right there. And by the way, when we walk in the door, we bring that brokenness, right? You know, and add to it. So it's just having a spirit of humility about that, a sense of humor, but
and also,
there's truth to this.
Also healthy is being aware of what are the things we're working on and being honest about what we're working on. Not dismissing, not just, you know, putting things on a shelf, not ignoring, which is what most systems that are unhealthy do. And so let's just talk a little bit about that, Rachel and Matt, and you guys bringing a little bit more. Come sit closer to me just for the screen. It's driving me nuts because I keep pulling him and he keeps going.
I'm not getting the signals.
I'm going to just say it out loud like healthy people
let's
do.
Let's get real close here.
I'm
bringing
signals.
In.
That's really unhealthy. So I'm just going to say it.
Good job using your voice.
Thank you. Okay. So back to you. A lot of ahas. It's common for so many of our cohort leaders or cohorts members who are a part who have not experienced maybe a time to really pause and go, what is healthy? What is unhealthy? Can you guys, again, it's hard because it can come across judgmental. And I just want to give that disclaimer. This isn't about judgment, but particularly when we talk about believers, the scriptures are clear that we can look at the fruit of different trees and assess, are those of the Lord or are those not of the Lord? And so we're looking at fruit, and we're not judging heart or motive, we're judging fruit. And we are allowed to do that. It's a way of us to be able to say, can I say yes to this? Can I say no? Is this going to be good for me today or not? Those kinds of things. So Rachel, let's start with you. You mentioned it like, just evaluating some things that you might have done in the past and it would have been applauded. Let's name a few of those things that a lot of leaders get applauded for, and it actually is adding poison to our long haul and finishing well as leaders.
Yeah. I think one that comes to mind is, again, something, you know, what we walked through was just a pretty public thing with our church. And so people knew we were members of this church that had a pretty big, you know, falling and different things with some leaders there. And it would have been very applauded. And I know people even asked me if I would, they didn't use these words, but it would have been me making a platform out of speaking out about that, right? And I'm not saying I never will, right? I mean, that could be down the road if it when it makes sense, but not when I'm still processing it. Like I'm still bleeding. You know, that's like if my arm got chopped off and somebody's like, hey, can you, you know, get up and speak up about, you know, the guy that chopped your arm off. And I'm like, well, it's still squirting blood right now. Like I need to go get it. Somebody get me to a hospital first. Let's get me bandaged up. Let me have some rest. And then if I feel like I'm supposed to speak out about that, I will. But I just think I knew, and like I said, I'm still there right now, which is why I'm even not giving details. You know, it's not that we want to hide any details. It's just I know I'm still kind of bleeding. So I don't know how healthy it is for me to get up and use the leadership and the influence God has given me to start speaking on something when I haven't healed or done my healing work, right? At least walking through it. And so that's one thing that I know if I had just immediately kind of gone public and been real open, I could have done all kinds of podcast series. I could have launched, probably written a book, like all kinds of things that I think a lot of people would have loved to see me do. And I don't think they would have had me in mind when they would have loved to see me do that. They would have had themselves in mind, right? Like what they want to hear, they want to know, they want details, all of that. And so that's just one example I can think of, though, with a lot of leaders. I notice this online when I watch other leaders, they're like in the thick of, and again, I hope this doesn't come across as judgmental, they'll be in the thick of, you know, walking through their divorce and they're already writing a book on it or stuff like that, that I'm like, I have a little bit of pause. And I say that, like I said, like you said, we can't judge anybody's heart, but I just have a pause and go, oh, I know the heart of our Father. And even if he's going to use that pain to help some people down the road, I don't believe that a good father would ask you to do it while you're still bleeding and you haven't had your healing and your rest and everything. So that's one example that comes to mind.
It's so good. Matt, before you share, let's just name, I mean, I think that's so true. So many people don't have the leader in mind. And I'll never forget, Rachel, when we went through a church crisis, we were at the hub of helping everybody else work through that. Like we were invited in to help. And it was going so fast and you're holding and trying to, you know, mend like a war, trying to mend everybody else's wounds. You don't have time to process your own pain. And I remember one of the key elders of our community came over and he just looked at me particularly and he said, how are you? And I was like, I'm fine. I'm doing great. Like, but that's what we're taught as leaders, usually, whether it's our childhoods that we grew up in or, you know, again, no pain, no gain in the sports and the leadership roles that we're, and then leadership, just intensity and stress. We're the ones helping everybody through. And so being able to have somebody say, how are you doing your own work? And then the wisdom to say, not yet, maybe later, because our system around leadership right now, particularly the church is most accountable for this, is how we can, I don't think anybody's overtly thinking, how do we monopolize on building a platform and selling more books? But at the heart of it, that's what it's about. And it's not really thinking about the wisdom and what's best and what are we modeling to the person who's watching that leader. And we're always talking about that as wholehearted leaders. Like if I'm not taking a vacation because the need is there, what am I modeling to everybody else on my team? I'm like, go take your vacation, but I'm not taking mine. And so when I'm writing a book in the middle of a crisis, I'm gaining a lot of, I'm giving a lot of raw, honest vulnerability, but I might say something very different in 5 years than I would say in the middle of my grief. And it actually can cause a lot of damage because the rest of the body or the followers or the sheep are thinking I'm supposed to be there by now, or this is what I'm supposed to be doing in the middle of my similar crisis. And so always thinking about the modeling. So I love what you're saying, Rachel, and just slowing down, making sure I'm taking care of my own wound. And I think as counselors, you and I were like, yeah. But the non-counselors in the world might be like, really? Come on.
Excuse me.
Leaders need to be there to help others. But I just think every so often, we just want to look around and go, how are you, to the leaders in our community? And that's what we do here at Living Wholehearted. We just create spaces to just pause and to protect, and then so that the modeling that you're doing out in your community is healthier. Mm-hmm. So I just, so good. Okay, Matt, sorry, that was my little rant. What about you in terms of what you're seeing in leadership? Maybe even just kind of things we deem as healthy as leaders, or we applaud as leaders, that you're starting to rethink.
Yeah. Yeah, my experience might be more of just the classic type of experience, that if it's to be, it's up to me. That's a mantra I had in my head for a long time. Just being a high innovator builder, it felt natural to me to just work a lot and to put my nose down and just go from one thing to another. And that's, you know, in the business world and owning a practice and growing as we have, you know, we started out with just me and now, you know, up to 9, staff over 15 years and just growing this thing into new disciplines and new providers and all that over time. The first 5 years in particular, I mean, I couldn't take a vacation. If we did, it would cost me. I mean, we'd lose money. And there was that constant pressure, can't take a sick day. And, you know, I saw patients a lot of times when I was worse off than they were. And went through that for years, and went through my own form of burnout about 5 years in, where I actually hurt my back as a chiropractor, and then not having anyone real close to help take care of me and not having the time to get that taken care of. So went through a tough time of that, and it just made me realize I need to reproduce myself. I need to find a way to diversify, to grow. And that really spawned a lot of what we do. So as a leader, I just had that mindset for a long time. And even as we did diversify and grow, I still had that mindset that how everyone's doing is up to me. Like, I kind of have to be in the background holding everything up. And so from just this past year in the cohort, I've gradually been learning how silly that is, for lack of a better term. But last year in the cohort, just really learning about me and my strengths and my values and what I bring to the table and what I don't, or just is more draining for me to do those things, then it's really freed me up, I think, to let the people around me work in their strengths a lot more and help me to just rest in the fact of what I do and to identify that and to help maximize our resources and talent and other things. So I guess as a leader, that's been my downfall, my mistake, or how I used to look at it, is just go, and until you can't go anymore, and then go some more. So
that's great, Matt. I mean, it's so normal for us to just kind of think from our own frame, right? And we can spend a lot of time and really dig in and capitalize on what we feel is our strengths, and it'd be great. Part of this cohort journey and the process of growing in awareness is growing in our awareness of, you know, of who we are actually. And that's hitting the greatest underlying need that we all have as people, mm-hmm. is to be seen and known. That's why we do the stories and the timeline. That's why we have you share it. That's why we listen to one another. It's to get that recentered in such a deep way, properly. And then to have then the ability to have greater awareness of our impact on other people. And our need for healthy interdependence. You know, you guys come from and, you know, are spiritually mature and walked with the Lord a long time. And so we know that he designed us this way, but it's funny that we don't live that way. And sometimes for a long time. So this is really about growing an awareness of that, living and kind of shrinking that gap in our own lives. And we're right there with you in that process. But those are some great examples you both gave about some paradigm shifts that have been happening towards living and leading with greater integrity. And like I said, we're striving to do that. And we wrote the book, you know, we're working together on those very same things, re-looking at some of those chapters along the journey as well.
Yeah. And so shrinking the integrity gap was a kind of our framework and what we work off of in the cohort. And it's 10 symptoms that every leader struggles with at some point. It's a great assessment book. Even us, we'll kind of flip through and go, okay, Lord, which chapter do I need to be working on today? Whether that's isolation, or I'm still carrying some toxic shame, or I'm being triggered, or I'm getting a little arrogant about my contributions and really frustrated with everybody else's contributions. You know, those are just being part of human peace, but leadership adds an extra dose of struggle there. So as we're landing the plane in our conversation, why don't you guys speak to a little bit about the 2-year journey that we invite leaders into? Most, that's usually a big hang up for people. We ask people to do one group session a month. You sprinkle in 15 sessions throughout the 2 years of your individual coaching. And then we have 4 2-day retreats in beautiful Oregon, which seems like a treat to us. We spoil you. So that just feels overwhelming to leaders. We're all busy.
Yeah, so I don't have time for this.
None of us have time. Thing. And you think you want me to commit for 2 years. So you're halfway through. Speak to just the time this takes, the expectations of the cohort, and what's your encouragement of moving past that barrier of time and commitment?
Yeah, a couple things come to mind when I think about the 2-year part, because I agree that I would say that was probably another thing for us. We're like, 2 years. What if we don't even like it? And you know, everybody's
what crazy. If we don't even like them?
You know, yeah, exactly. I mean, that is, it's another by faith moment. But I know a couple things that I think about. One is, if we were only doing a year and we were about to be done, I'd be so sad. I'd be like, wait, hold on. There's more. We're just getting started. Don't leave us. You know, I would jump on to probably your next one or something, because we, you know, just kind of feel like we're you know, in a journey here with you. And then also what comes to mind is, while yes, like you said, for leaders, once a month on the call and then a coaching session feels like, oh, great, one more thing to add. I can say that every time I have either of those things on my calendar, it energizes me more than drains me, right? So I'm always like, oh, good, it's a cohort day, or oh, good, you know, it's a breath of fresh air, not a, oh no, here comes another meeting or something like that. So it's so life-giving that I feel like the time you get it back double, you know, because then you're, the rest of your day, you're getting more done and you're have a new perspective or feel lighter because you got to talk with your coach about something. And so there's that piece. And then I also just think, I actually, it makes so much more sense. Sorry if I'm stealing all the things, honey. It makes so much more sense why it needs to be 2 years, because one other thing, when I think about leaders being applauded for something, is the ability to, we wouldn't say it this way, to be numb, to always be smiley, to always be positive, and to only show the positive emotions to people, not the, oh man, I'm grieving something, or wow, that was hard, right? And so leaders actually do get applauded for just burning through things and being positive, and we're going to get through this, and this is going to be awesome. And while, of course, positivity is a great thing, when we're using it as a mask for what's really happening beneath us, I liken, you know, my experience so far in the cohort is I came in like frozen, and we've been in a defrosting season, right? Like, I feel like this first year, I'm like, okay, I'm defrosting. Now let's cook something, right? You're like, okay, I'm defrosting. I'm starting to feel things again. I'm crying again. I'm doing all these things. And so now let's do something with it, which is why I said, if you guys were about to, you know, if we were about to come to an end, I'd be like, well, what do we do next? What else can we sign up for? So.
That's really good. Rachel. No, you can always take all the things. Okay. You're good. I as far as 2 years, the first thing came to mind is I'm as often as we meet, the once a month, and then, you know, as you described, the circle meetings, and then the cohort where we are, the where we come out to Oregon. There's no way I'm going to get to know anybody, or anybody's going to get to know me in a short amount of time, because I just it's going to take a little while for me to trust those around me or get to know. And you purposefully, I notice you purposefully put downtime in these things, whether it be at Oregon, but, or at the, even in the circles meeting, you know, that we do, you have the purposeful, just sit and quiet and play the music time in there. And I know you guys know what you're doing, but I'm noticing that when you do that, it goes from the brain, you know, down deeper into the heart, whatever we're doing. And so I think that just speaks to the 2 years is just taking that extra time. You're making more of a deeper and longer lasting change.
Thanks for noticing that, Matt. Yeah. Yeah. We're trying to get that content and process balance, right? Yeah. Which is so important. It's how we change, how we really kind of grow and use both sides of our brains. The healthy people use both sides, and we're trying to practice that. So I'm glad you're noticing and feeling that. That's good news.
It's really good news. And thank you for being willing to be honest and appropriately. That's the other thing I think you're modeling is leaders are human beings who have real lives, who are going through all kinds of, we're impacted just as much as everybody else in our wake by the things happening around us. Healthy leaders get help. And I'll end with this. Many people, this is the other kind of myth, is people think I don't need that cohort unless I've had an affair or I've had a massive moral failure or I'm really burning out. Like, and so those are the extremes that you can come into the cohorts if you're burning out. If you've had an affair, you're wrestling, we're probably going to send you over to do some counseling before you're ready for the cohort. The cohort is for leaders who have done some good work already. So we do screen and we make sure that you're ready to do this 2-year journey. But really, talk a little bit about who would benefit. Just in general, I think it's better here coming from you guys because we're already sold on the Wholehearted Leadership Cohort and what we do at Living Wholehearted and our executive coaching and what we wrote in our book, Shrinking the Integrity Gap. But talk to everybody who's listening. How might this cohort, who might be ready for this cohort and need this cohort? And, you know, maybe what might be their next step if they're considering it? Our next 2-year executive isn't for a while. We only do one a year, but we do have women's cohorts and men's cohorts that are scattered throughout as well. And we now have a counselor's cohort for helpers who are professional counselors and need this kind of dynamic for themselves. So we'll give the mic to you. Who needs this cohort?
Well, I would start by saying we're a testimony that you don't have to have an affair to be in the cohort, thankfully. Amen. Amen. But I can see how that would be incredibly helpful going through something like that or any kind of trauma. But I would say that someone really like me, I know, is kind of the easy answer. But what I mean by that is someone that just doesn't search for these things. Because I wouldn't have known about you guys if it wasn't for Rachel, of course. I wouldn't have. And even if I had heard about it, and when I did hear about it, it was an initial like, oh, man, you know, another thing, if you will. And someone like me really needs something like this probably the most, because of there wasn't many other places or times that I took to, dive into the heart or to work through a story. And I've been through counseling before. I mean, I've gone through counseling and it's been great, but we still didn't do some things that we're going through in this cohort that I found to be extremely helpful. So someone that's, thinks they don't have time, thinks they don't have the money. Of course, those are the easy, great answers. But someone that just doesn't take much time to look inward, I think they need to force the time. And anything you put your money, you know, put your treasure, your time to, you're going to value, and it's going to be important to you. And to do that, there's a certain sense of, I think, just sanctity that comes to that, and it becomes kind of a sanctified place and time that God can really do some deep work in your heart that you wouldn't be open to otherwise. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cool, Matt. Thank you for that. And you're a chiropractor, so you're a businessman, you know, and you're leading an organization, co-leading an organization together. So you're not a vocational minister, although you can be to be a part of this. So yeah, that's a great example here. Rach, how about you? What would you say?
Yeah, two things came to mind. One, to the person listening who, if you're honest, you don't really have community who really sees you. I think isolation is such a huge thing with leaders, and I don't think we're always honest with ourselves. And that's me raising my hand to say before this group, I wasn't really like, I had a lot of acquaintances, but nobody who really saw me or who I wasn't leading who saw me. Right. I think leaders need to also be led. And so that's what you two have been for us is, hey, we're actually being led by healthy leaders. And like you said, not perfect, but healthy leaders. Right. And so if you're listening and you're going, yeah, if I'm honest, I really don't have people who really know my story, who really ask me the hard questions, right? That's the scary part about this process, to have somebody ask you hard questions. Oh, it's uncomfortable. It would technically feel easier to not have somebody ask the hard questions, but that's not, you can't do that long term. So I know for me, a huge shift, and I think this applies to some people listening today, is just that I will, even when this cohort ends, I will always take seriously who sees me, like who really sees me, right? Who's really asking me the hard question, who's holding me accountable to some things. And then the other thing that came to mind was just, if you're listening to this interview today, I think you're supposed to join, because we're how many minutes in? Well, you know, 49 minutes in. And if you've been this curious to hear the conversation and you're still with us right now, then that's the Lord probably saying, hey, this is for you. And you might be like us, where you're like, I don't totally know why, but I just sense that we're supposed to do this. And we can just testify to, just jump in. I promise there's a reason. There's fruit on the other side.
Such a good word. Thank you, Matt and Rachel Gilbert. Yeah. We'll have all your information, because they have incredible resources. If you're, you know, in the Texas Fort Worth area, then you need a chiropractor, but a holistic practice,
or a good counselor,
and then Rachel's podcast and her resources and her books. We'll put that all in, because they really are, they're wholehearted leaders and they're on a journey. And I appreciate you guys being so real and honest. You are genuine and the real deal. Mm-hmm. So thank you. And if you are listening to Rachel's encouragement, you're kind of like, I feel like I'm supposed to apply, but if I wait too much longer, I'll probably not. So go to livingwholehearted.com. You can go to the leader cohorts and see the different cohorts we have, and you can apply at any time. And then when we open and we start looking at the next cohort, we prayerfully consider who's going to be in this cohort, because we do want it to be a safe place for you. And we will do consults, free consultation, just to be able to talk to you about your specific needs, where you are in the world. This is open to anybody in the globe, but we are on the Pacific side of the world.
The Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. So in terms of travel, and Oregon really is a treasure to come visit. And you do get to hang out with Jeff and I think we're pretty cool. I don't know, maybe. we come across really nerdy. Yeah. But honestly, our cohorts are one of the main places where Jeff and I are one-to-one with people. Mm-hmm. So we love having you every time with this podcast and joining us in the work. So if this is all you can do is participate in the podcast, maybe take one next step in letting somebody into your story as a leader. Mm. It doesn't have to be us at Living Wholehearted. So maybe if God puts someone on your mind today, reach out to them, go get coffee, start talking about how you guys can help each other. So thank you, Gilberts. Appreciate you.
Yeah, Matt and Rachel, we love you guys.
We love you too. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. All right. So until next time, continue to grow into becoming the leader.
Hi, I'm Rhonda Began, one of the executive leadership coaches at Living Wholehearted. And I love what I do as a coach, especially in our cohort setting. That's why I'm excited to tell you that we are starting a 2-year women's executive leadership cohort in April of this year, and I don't want you to miss out. You might think as a leader, there's no way I can take 2 years to do anything, but we've designed our cohorts specifically to be doable for the high-level leader. Through one-on-one coaching that is easy to schedule, to once-a-month virtual group coaching, and then 4 amazing retreats at our Living Wholehearted Lodge and Retreat in beautiful Sherwood, Oregon, in the heart of wine country. We will look at who you are and how your story matters. We'll look at how you're wired and why it's important to be who you are. And then we'll look at how you have the potential to impact not just your leadership, but your family, your community, and your world. Hope you join us.